Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here in about 15 minutes. It is a Snitch Line Thursday. We only do this like once a month or so, but a Snitch Line Thursday coming up. You can start texting those in as well to 913-586-7965. But it's time to talk some fantasy football with Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He is presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. All right, Charch, we'll start with the news on everybody's mind. Tommy DeVito and his agent are back in the spotlight. What does that mean for those that have been holding out hope that Malik Nabers can still carry them to the playoffs?
It's not good. If you love dump-off passes, you're going to love seeing Tommy DeVito again. Last year, he threw 178 passes. I went back and looked. He had to suffer through eight long games of Tommy DeVito last year. His average game was 137 yards and one touchdown. I mentioned the 178 passes. He completed 14 passes of more than 15 yards. So it's all just short dump-off stuff. And what I really hate about this, though, Alex and Cody, is this. So the Giants didn't want to trigger Daniel Jones's injury clause in his contract, so they bench him. So they should be going to the backup. That's Drew Lock. But Drew Lock's got escalators in his contract that he would hit as the Giants starter for the remaining seven games. So they don't want to pay him either, so he's out. So they go to Tommy DeVito, who's their third stringer, despite getting almost zero practice time with the first and second team offense. In practice, as the third stringer, you're playing the role of opposing quarterback. And now he's the starting quarterback. It's bad. You know, Grant, it's a soft spot against Tampa. Their pass defense has been terrible. But I don't like any part of this, including the teammates that know that Tommy DeVito should not be on the field right now.
Charge, it's kind of tough because this is a weird week for buys. I think this might be the worst bye week of the year, right? Falcons, Bills, Bengals. I mean, that's a lot of offensive players people have been counting on. There's no universe. Like, if you had to start a bad quarterback, I'm in a 16-team league and somebody was disappointed they didn't get Tommy DeVito to start in a bye week. They're starting Cooper Rush.
Wow.
Is there a bad quarterback that you can even go with this week?
Well, actually, you know, I oddly enough, I think, yes, there is, as a matter of fact. Caleb Williams against the Vikings makes some sense. Vikings ranked 28th in passing yards allowed. Caleb Williams has been a disaster, but you could go with him. Will Levis, coming off a season-high 300-yard game, he has scored in every one of his full games. So that might be, you know, that might be an option. Houston's allowed touchdown passes in every game since week two. So there's two waiver wire guys you could go to, and you're right. It's a brutal bye week. And then next week we have no byes. And then the week after that, we have six byes, and the teams on bye are potentially even better than this one. Oof. So do some advanced planning if you've got week 14 troubles.
We're talking to Paul Charchian about fantasy football each and every Thursday here on Cody and Gold. He's, of course, from Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. Here in Kansas City, we know they get the Panthers, which everybody here kind of thinks this will be a get-right spot for KC. What about Patrick Mahomes? We know the stats haven't been there, but against Carolina, is this one of those where you still are having to start him?
Well, this was a tough one for me all week, trying to figure out where to rank Patrick Mahomes because he's facing the Panthers. I got him as quarterback 12.
I know, right?
I mean, look, you know, Patrick Mahomes, here's where your quarterback is. This is where it's become for me, fantasy-wise. He's become matchup-proof, but in the wrong way. I think I've gotten to a point where I think no matchup is too easy for Mahomes to put up explosive numbers. He's only got one top 10 quarterback finish all year. And just the explosiveness missing, he's turned into a dump-off quarterback. On the season, your quarterback is 20th in average depth of target, and over the last month, he's 26th. You just can't You just can't get – you can't roll up meaningful fantasy stats 4 yards at a time. And, you know, Carolina's the opponent. And that, I mean, that counts. But they've actually gotten better lately over the last 5 games, giving up just 228 passing yards and 1.5 passing touchdowns. I don't know. I just don't see the explosive upside for Mahomes to move him ahead of quarterback 12, even against the Panthers. You tell me. You follow this
closer
than anybody.
I'll ask you this,
see it differently?
Would you rather – so between Mahomes, Caleb Williams, Anthony Richardson, Jordan Love, who would you rather start?
I have Jordan Love as my number 6 quarterback this week. So I've got Love. I got Love ahead of him, but none of the rest of the guys that you mentioned were ahead of him. But, you know, Jordan Love's been a very safe fantasy producer.
Charge, as far as, like, you talk about, like, matchups where you're just like, hey, even this, I do it. Chuba Hubbard has essentially been a top 10 fantasy running back all season long. Nobody runs against the Chiefs. It's a horrid nightmare. It's a hellscape if you try to start a running back against the Chiefs. So do you just bench him? Or is this just one of those guys like, screw it, he's on your team, he's got to play?
You know, I've got him in a bunch of leagues, and I'm putting him in my flex spot for most of those. Chiefs run defense, to your point, has been – we're starting to get into, like, historic levels. 52 yards allowed to opposing running backs per game, which is – it's staggering how great that is. I believe you're at 3.1 yards per carry, which, again, just – crazy, crazy numbers. The last running back to top, no running backs top 58 yards against your team all season long. And then I go back and look at, all right, Bijan Robinson, elite runner, 31 yards. Derrick Henry, 46 yards. It's just, it's been a nightmare for opposing backs. You saw what James Cook held to 20 yards rushing last week. So your hope here for Chuba Hubbard is what James Cook did with gold. Let's get short touchdowns and just hope we can convert a touchdown or two out of him. But otherwise, it's unbelievable the run defense your team has put together. And as far as I'm concerned, if I'm going to pick one reason why your team is, what do you guys, 10-1, 9-1?
9-1.
9-1, it's the run defense.
I mean, I can't disagree with it. It makes all teams one-dimensional, which makes a massive difference from a team perspective. In the division, though, I want to ask you about a couple of rookie quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, I think a lot of people are pinning his bad fantasy performances lately on the he got hurt, he had a rib injury, and then he stopped performing. So is Jaden Daniels back to being a start, or do we have to wait out until he's feeling better?
Well, he's also faced Pittsburgh and Philadelphia the last 2 weeks, and that's two of the best defenses in the league. Now he gets Dallas.
Ooh, they stink.
You're like, okay. Yeah, this has got to be the get-right spot right here, right? Dallas, last 4 teams to face Dallas have scored 34 points, 27 points, 30 points, and 47 points. But here's where it's actually a little bit tricky. Sometimes Dallas gives up such big leads that nobody passes on them. They're seeing the second fewest passes in the league. And if you think a big Commanders win is coming, and I kind of do here, just know that sometimes opponents just stop throwing. And if the rib injury is still a thing, then all the more reason, if you've got a big lead, let's not expose Jaden Daniels in the running game either. So he's actually got – I still like him a lot. I got him in my top 5 at quarterback. But there's some sneaky downside if this thing turns into a one-sided affair, which it might.
We're talking to Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. So – tonight, Thursday night football, Steelers at the Browns. Let's start with the weather and the impact that could have. I've been talking about that from a betting angle tonight, where the Steelers are 3.5-point favorites. But snow, maybe some wind charge. I mean, the total for the game is 36.5.
Yeah, and we've seen other Cleveland games where they, in Cleveland, in bad weather, where the teams just don't pass. And it just, you know, it just turns into a grinded out game. And there's a 100% chance of precipitation. It's the old wintry mix, guys. We've got our first wintry mix of the year.
Been too long. Old of course rain. It's a Steelers game.
Of course it's a Steelers game. It had to be, right? We're going to get the cold rain. We're going to get sleet, snow, and possibly the elusive sneet in this game. Very exciting. In the hierarchy of winter weather concerns for fantasy players. And by the way, there is one. There's a hierarchy of winter weather concerns for fantasy players. The lowest level is snow. Snow, not a big deal unless it is a ton of snow And if it really materially affects your footing, and even then, sometimes bad footing, it really helps the offense more than the defense. Defenders are trying to react on a slick surface. Nobody, you know, that's not necessarily great. Snow is not that big of a deal most of the time. Rain is actually a bigger deal, and cold rain, like we could get tonight, could be a problem because nobody likes cold, slick balls.
Charge.
Quarterbacks can't grip as well. Receivers drop more passes. Nobody likes the cold, slick balls. But the real thing to watch tonight, wind. This is the highest level of concern. Fantasy players, if the wind is over 25 miles an hour, you get fewer passes, you get fewer downfield passes, and then if you blend all of that together into one game, which you might have tonight, you could have a compounding factors, and then we might be looking at a game where each team is throwing the ball 12, 14 times, and that would be a massive problem for us from a fantasy standpoint.
George, I was one of the several people who drafted Nick Chubb, hoping to stash him for later in the year. Look, it's not exactly saving the season, I guess. So, like, at this point with Chubb, do you think they're just going to kind of, like, protect him the rest of the way? This 10, 11 carries, 40, 50 mm-hmm. yards, maybe no touchdowns? Or is there some, like, hidden value coming?
Yeah, I mean, the value tonight might be just the weather, and it feels like a Nick Chubb game. You know, you power back, straightforward guy, you know, isn't trying to do a lot of crazy cuts and stuff. It feels like this could be a Nick Chubb game, but I mean, you probably got listeners don't even realize Nick Chubb returned four games ago. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done anything, hasn't found the end zone. He's averaging 3.1 yards per carry. I mean, this is a guy whose career, he's a 5.2 yard per carry guy across his career. You know, just some players, they just don't bounce back from the ACL injury very quickly. And that looks like him. The eye test, he just doesn't, he's always had that spark in his footstep that made him a really special power back. That is not there. Steelers, easier defense to run on than pass on. I mean, you know, last week the Steelers played Derrick Henry. And the Ravens screwed this up. They only ran Derrick Henry 13 times, and instead they just invited T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward to come ruin their game, and they did. This, you know, I'd like to think that the Browns are going to be smarter about this and try to run a lot more in this game because that's Steelers. Steelers are they're a beatable run defense, and why go put T.J. Watt into a spot where you go wreck your game because he will.
Charge, great stuff as always, man. Watch out for the cold, wet balls tonight, and we'll check in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks. We'll talk in 2 weeks, my friends. Bye-bye.
You got it. Paul Charge in Conversations presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Cold, slick balls tonight in Cleveland.
Could be risky. Jeez.
Could be dicey.
Don't know which way dicey. That could go.
Drew, are you worried
feels
about
like a perfect
that?
Lead into snitch line.
Is that something that concerns you?
No, I'm not worried about it. I'm okay.
No. Okay. I wasn't sure.
We're not doing What's Your Fantasy this week, right?
Because no. Well, fuck. Well, that's all. Okay. All right.
I'm just asking. Okay. You know? Yeah. I'm just asking.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. On that note, it's time for a Snitch Line Thursday. It's been a while since we did the Snitch Line. 913-586-7965. This used to be a weekly staple on the show. Now we do it once a month. If you have something that you've done at the workplace, something that you've been doing and nobody else knows, it's anonymous. Maybe you witnessed something. That's why you text in 913-586-7965. Let's get started. We got quite the text to start us off from the 660 Snitch Line. So my best friend accidentally sent my wife a D-pic on Snapchat.
Accidentally?
Saying it was for his wife, but come to find out, it wasn't for her. It was for his ex from high school. Do I tell his wife? Should we still be friends? My wife deleted him and blocked him, by the way. LOL.
Okay, so for starters, I would ask how close you are with this person. I do think there's a level of close you need to be with someone before you become the breaker of cheating news. But if this is like a close person in the friend group, you can absolutely tell her. You can, again, do the snitching. At least, should still be friends.
Your best friend.
People are flawed.
Yeah, because like your best friend, think of whoever your best friend is, and he
is cheating on his wife or wants to.
Or trying, yeah.
Or at the very least, sending pics of himself to other women.
I think it's not just how close are you to his wife. I also think it is your wife close to that family, like to that person's wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, doesn't that almost matter more in this circumstance, Cody? that is your wife who got sent the picture. How close is she to his wife?
If they're close,
yeah.
You got to tell him. You got to tell him. I mean, that's just like, or you got to tell her. That's just the reality of the situation, I think.
Someone else from, wow, we're just going with the sexual theme today, aren't we?
Okay, right.
From the 816 on the snitch line, I witnessed a coworker of mine having special time by himself in the car on break. LOL.
On break?
Oh, my God.
Damn, having a stressful day at work?
Jeez.
At work?
Oh, my goodness.
If you want one that goes away from that theme, somebody earlier, like as soon as you guys teased it, like an hour ago, somebody said, guy at work, you dirty, dirty man. We saw you clipping your fingernails in the office. Death penalty isn't severe enough.
We had this happen.
That's an at-home activity. I must have one hangnail. I will allow for clipping of a hangnail.
We had this happen, I don't know, 2 years ago. Was it 2 years? A coworker at our sister station, KMBZ. He still works here, by the way. In the corner of his desk, just taking his time clipping every last fingernail. Remember this?
Uh-huh.
No trash can.
What?
Ludicrous, dude. Yeah. He was like one step off from taking off a shoe and getting to a toenail.
Oh,
I mean, it was on. Actually, maybe it was on the table. Ludicrous.
I don't know.
Ludicrous. From the 816, I work in the area at a local hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
Says the department manager is messing around with the 55-year-old department manager. Mm-hmm. Is messing with a 20-year-old girl. So she's using him for his money, but
oh, you missed the part. They worked in lumber.
Mm-hmm.
That detail. Thanks for that detail. They worked together in lumber.
Uh-huh. Said, should I tell him?
There's some jokes there.
He's 55 and she's 20. I think there's
they both are moving around some wood.
I think he's... I don't think he wants to hear it from you either way. I think you just let that one go. I don't think you need to say anything to that guy. I think you're good.
Moving around some wood, eh?
Yeah, just handling wood.
Mm-hmm. Someone says snitches get stitches. No, it's the snitch line. We allow it for this
that's what it's for.
This 10-minute period once a month. It is an open door on this show.
For those that are new to the snitch line and maybe new to the station here on 96.5, this all started actually during COVID.
It did.
The snitch line, because the NBA at the time opened up essentially a snitch line for people that were snitching if someone was trying to violate the COVID protocols at the time back in 2020. And so we said, hey, why don't we just do a snitch line for fun in regards to this? And it's here we are. Here we are 4 years later.
We don't have to say the person's name, but is this text correct?
No, it's not.
That is not
okay.
The person.
It is
I assumed it was not.
Yeah, let me be clear on the nail trimming thing from the story in the office on KMBZ. It is not Scott Parks or Dana Wright or anybody like... No, it's not. It's not that. No.
But they definitely did it. And I'm pretty sure they did their toenails one time. This was like when Nick was...
The top text based on your random question yesterday.
From the 816. All right. Oh, wait. So yesterday it was okay to have sex in a car. Now, today, pleasuring yourself outside of home is bad.
Oh, my goodness.
First off.
I'm not even kidding. I got a text from my dad yesterday.
Oh, no. He was listening during that time?
I forgot to bring this up. But yeah, I got a text from my dad yesterday, and he's like, hey, I was listening to your show today. I'm like, okay. And he's like, yeah, you guys, he goes, it wasn't even a text. This was on the phone, actually. He's like, you guys were, I think I caught you were talking about sex on the show. I go, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That was, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, Cody, that was Cody's random question. I was like, yes, we were talking about this Adam Schefter story. And I just ended it there. I did not get any more detail.
Oh, he didn't just be like.
No, I didn't want to get any more detail.
He didn't say, like, I've had sex in a car.
Yeah, I don't want to get any more detail.
It could have gone any number of which ways.
Here we go. Snitch line continues. 913-58.
You ended that conversation quick.
I did. 913-586-7965. From the 816, someone says, specifically snitching on a employee at like an office store who left 6 boxes of paper outside our front door in the rain the other day, didn't come into our office to tell them they dropped off, just sat there in the rain soaking up water.
Oh, man.
Not good.
Yeah. That's the one you just hope nobody ever catches that it was you that I guess did it, right?
Yeah.
From the 816, best friend's manager at work's been stealing everyone's tips.
Ooh.
Someone claims they were in prison and never snitched there, but they're snitching now.
So well, they know there's no consequences here.
No consequences here. Stealing everyone's tips.
Did you see this? From the 913, from the 913, yes. I have been, someone says they've been shoplifting steaks and lobsters from a local grocery chain. I won't name the grocery store. I've been eating very good, and I feel like a loser because I'm a thief.
So you're eating like a... So it's weird. Steaks and lobsters, like you're eating like a king, but you feel like a loser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough.
That is eating like a king. Steak and lobster every night. Aren't you tired of that?
You're just going in the grocery store, and what, you're...
Swiping a steak?
Like the steak, I mean, if you're getting the... kind from behind the counter, what, you're having them wrap it up and then they put a label on it and you're just not going to the checkout lane? You're just purposely not,
bag,
you're just not scanning that? You're scanning like the toothpaste and toothbrush, but not the you know, filet mignon? What's going on?
As long as they're not alive.
Someone like from the 660, Drew, says there's this guy I know on the radio, doesn't like to pay up on his bet, but he also buys stuff and promises selling it. Huh. Whatever that could be.
It's not me. Is it? I don't think it's you, Gold.
No, I don't think it's me either. Huh. Cody?
Any ideas about that?
Don't know anything about that.
Do you see this one from the 816?
Someone offered to buy the box.
You want to read the construction one?
They never showed up.
You want to read the construction one?
816 said, I work a construction site a few years ago. Coworker really pissed me off. Set a pack of cigarettes down. I walked in the other room. He then, we'll just say, did something with his genitals towards it.
Uh-huh. Something you would do on like a...
all of them. Uh-huh. So it was a hot day in July. Never told anyone.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if anybody's played Call of Duty, you know, sometimes you'll do that after you shoot somebody on Call of Duty. That's what this gentleman did to someone's pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's from the 816 has never rat a bro out for cheating. Not my place. Not my fault.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
No.
I'm just telling you, like, hold on. Turning a total blind eye about it speaks to your own ethics a little here in this situation.
He said it wasn't his place and it wasn't his fault.
I mean, yeah, but, like, it feels like you're kind of enabling.
I'll say this. 100%.
I'll say this. If it's not going to be your fault, if you're going to stand by that, you better never be an alibi for the guy. You better not get a call from the wife and be like, hey, was he with you last night? And you're like, yeah, absolutely. We were kicking it all night. Second, you're an alibi. You are part of this. You absolutely are.
I hope I'm never stuck in an alibi situation where you got to make sure your P's and Q's are on the same page. So that I don't need to be in that situation.
A lot of people steal from their workplace.
Yeah,
someone said they used to do that and stole over $300 for the steaks over the summer.
Used to work at same grocery store's meat department.
So the steaks were tasty. He said I was a young, immature man. You know, like, please forgive me for the mistakes of youth. I think that's fair.
Oh, here's an interesting one. This is family drama, maybe. I don't know. This one's not family. This is a different one. I'm pretty sure my manager from the 913 is framing me for the deposit she's stealing. She pulls the cash out of the deposit from the bag off camera and then sends me to the bank setting me up. I'm not 100%, but pretty sure.
Ooh.
Interesting. I think you got to be counting that before. I think you need to get your hand on account before that. Or at the very least, you got to start saving some of this footage.
So they don't say you're the one stealing a couple $100 or whatever
it is. Put
it
on you. From the 785, my entire company's getting fired on December 20th. Everyone is pissed. One of my co-workers went and took the company truck mudding and left it in a hole overnight.
Mm.
So went for a little joyride in the company car, huh? Ideally not the one who rear-ended me the other day. That was a company car.
Was there mud on it?
No. It looked pretty clean, honestly. Mm-hmm. Guy kept a pretty clean truck until he put a big dent in it. Been dealing with the insurance companies the last couple of days. I don't feel like I'm supposed to talk about it in case, like, somehow I can screw this up.
No.
They've already accepted liability, which they should. Nobody else's car was damaged except for the person who
are you seeking compensation?
A medical compensation. There's a medical report open. You know, we gotta see how that goes.
Okay. Your neck mobility looks good today. You know,
feeling a little better.
Uh huh.
Feeling a little looser.
No neck brace. No neck brace today. Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Go, Jim Woolridge. Neck brace while you're doing the show. All right, that is the snitch line. Up next, we'll get a quick what's trending in. And we talked with former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes earlier today. We asked him about kind of the mental psyche going into a matchup against an opponent like the Panthers, where everybody thinks you're just going to go in and destroy them. How do you handle that? That's coming up next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the Chiefs, a little update from practice today. The Chiefs saying that, just like yesterday, everybody's expected to work in some capacity, and that we'll see what's the actual status of guys like Pacheco and Aminihu, who were both limited yesterday. Could they be full participants today?
Maybe.
That'll be something to keep an eye on. But other than that, no surprises. Everything continuing to trend in the direction that it was trending yesterday.
Andy won't talk until tomorrow. We'll obviously bring you that news at 1 o'clock tomorrow during the fan club. We'll get you an update on what at least he says tomorrow as we wait to find out if Pacheco and Minihue will make their debuts. Next up on What's Trending, Chris Sale. And Tarik Skubal won the Cy Young Award last night. No surprises on that end. They were both the heavy favorites to do so. The Royals did have two top four finishers, though. Seth Lugo was the runner-up, finishing second. And Cole Reagans finished fourth. Two top four finishes for a team. I mean, you want to know how they went from 56 wins to the playoffs. Fairly simple math. Also tonight, the MVP awards will be announced for Major League Baseball, where it's expected Shohei Ohtani will win unanimously and Aaron Judge will win unanimously. But Bobby Wood Jr. is predicted to finish second.
Next on What's Trending, just an update on Missouri sports betting. We all know Election Day was a couple Tuesdays ago, and at that point, sports betting in Missouri had passed. Then this week, some people got a little nervous. I had a couple of people tweeting me wondering what was going on. The margin of victory had narrowed, because remember, this all still has to be certified. So just because it's so close, normally we don't, all results always have to be certified. It's just people are tracking this one closer because it got narrow. And the reason was there was one county, Christian County in Missouri, that on election night reported 40,000 or so ballots. And then on Monday, all of a sudden, there was over 50,000.
Whoops.
And that's because some early votes received and some ballot counting equipment issues. A lot of the votes from that county were no votes. The margin got all the way down to about 360, meaning that was the margin towards yes. Now, since then, I was talking about this last night on that betting show. The margin has increased again. That's because seven of the eight, you know, most populous counties have now also turned in more votes from early voting, and those are predominantly yes votes. So now the margin's back up to 1,800 or 2,000.
Man, it was
still
tight.
Narrow. You think about 3 million votes almost.
Tight.
2.9 million votes, 3 million votes. Yeah, but it's still nothing. It's still all good, and looks like there's no reason to be concerned.
Half a percentage point or something difference between the yes or the no, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Lastly, on What's Trending, Juju Lewis, the number two player in the country, a five-star quarterback, has flipped his commitment a couple days ago. He decommitted from USC. He'll be heading to Colorado. He announced that today on the Pat McAfee show. So Deion Sanders has one of the best. He's going to have the number one quarterback in the draft this year. His son, Shedeur Sanders, but got another five-star recruit to come in right behind him. Juju Lewis heading to Colorado.
As long as Deion's there, he'll be there. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise, he'll end up training. Yeah, the talent's not even a question. Obviously, this weekend, big college football. We'll maybe talk more about that tomorrow. Big game, Colorado and Kansas. Massive college football playoff implications for the Buffs and for the rest of the Big 12. Earlier today, though, we had former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes join us. He will be in Charlotte on Sunday when the Chiefs take on the Panthers in the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. Noon kickoff, which means pregame coverage with Mitch, Danan, Kling, Dan Israel starts at 9 a.m. We started our conversation with Danan Hughes talking about the rest of the schedule, though, for Kansas City past the Carolina game, which is what is actually the toughest game remaining?
Yeah, that's a great question because I think Pittsburgh comes to mind. Houston coming here. I'm sure there'll be a lot on the line for them as far as seeding purposes and maybe for us as well. So, you know, that Bills game kind of puts a little bit more emphasis, I guess, or maybe a stronger exclamation point on some of these matchups as we get down the stretch. And then who knows? You know, we may be in spoiler position as well later in the season when we have Denver, you know, to knock out a team like that plays us extremely tough. Could bode well for us in that last week of the season if we're playing for something, and obviously they'll be playing for something as well. So, I mean, as far as importance, as far as tough games, you kind of never know about the toughness of a game because injuries come into play. And you know, heck, Cleveland could be a tough game based on where we're at from an injury standpoint that game. So I feel important is probably the best word to slot in there. And Pittsburgh, Houston, The Chargers could definitely be one of the more impactful games coming up. If they continue to play like they're playing, they're kind of the team that I've talked to you guys about in previous weeks in regards to being a team that's on the ascension that hadn't really arrived early, but they seem to be hitting their stride, and they got a lot of confidence. So that game, even though it's at home, could be one of those games as well. So Pittsburgh does come to mind, but I'm not going to sleep on Chargers and the Texans.
Take me inside the mind of a player when you had a week like the Chiefs had on Sunday. They lose to Buffalo, tough game, likely going to play them again. That seemed to be the mindset in the locker room, is like, hey, we'll see in January kind of thing. Now you play Carolina, and from the outside, everybody's saying, hey, this Panthers team stinks, and everybody knows what their record is. How do you handle that as a player, knowing that you're coming off a loss and knowing that everybody just assumes you're going to destroy this team on Sunday?
Well, it's a unique mindset because it's actually different than the general fan and probably a lot of the media, because you're so conditioned to be in routine, to respect your opponents, to respect any opportunity on any given Sunday that you can be beat. And I'm sure Andy Reid, he's been around this league a long time. He knows what to say. He's been down this road before, has probably had several losses on his resume against teams that were significantly worse than them as far as stats and record. And then that's where the reality comes in. So if you are a leader on this team, if you're one of the coaches, they have to have stories. Heck, I have stories from when I played, when we played teams that were significantly worse than us and we wind up losing. So each of them can tap into that, and it's about keeping it normal. We're creatures of routine. The Wednesday practice is the Wednesday practice. The Thursday practice is the same. Friday and the walkthrough on Saturday, it's all the same, whether you're playing a top team in the NFL or you're playing a team that's fledgling, that's probably going to be battling for a number one or number two pick in the draft. Because you know the feeling, and you remember the feeling of, yeah, we didn't take that team for granted, but they came in and whooped our butt. Or we didn't cross all the T's and dot the I's like we should have back in 2010 when we lost to that team, and they came in and they gave us the business. So, like, I feel like these coaches can tap back into that. And players, very impressionable. Like, as much as we want to say these guys have their own spirit, they have their own personality, their own character, like, you can dial into a player pretty easily and not manipulate them, but also, you know, kind of infiltrate their brain to make them understand stronger what the matter at hand is versus just overlooking them and looking to the next team. That's the Raiders on Black Friday.
Dan, I want to make this clear that this is not something I say often, and I understand how the league is a very close league for a variety of reasons, and that's what makes it the best sport. This should be an ass-kicking, right? Like, they are far superior to the Panthers?
So there's two different questions you had there. They are far superior than the Panthers, but as far as what kind of ass-kicking it is, I will never, ever, ever say that a blowout should happen in the NFL, because there's grown men with families and getting paid on the other side. Like, I've been around this league since 1993. Like, this is not college. This is not, you know, University of Alabama playing Arkansas Pine Bluff. Like, it's not. It's the NFL. And, you know, they got some players over there. Josie Jewell is over there. They got Joe Horn's son over there, who I played with here in Kansas City. Like, they got some players over there, and they got something to prove. Like, if for no other reason, and we've always said this, we said this over the last 2 years specifically, every team that we play, it's their Super Bowl. Like, what better example of it actually being the Super Bowl for a team than the Carolina Panthers, who hasn't been anywhere near there since Cam Newton was the quarterback? So, like, if they're ever in their hometown and their stadium going to be up for one game, it's not the Atlanta Falcons, it's not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's not, you know, the New Orleans Saints in their division, it's going to be the Chiefs, who they play once every 4 years and don't play on their home field there necessarily once every 4 years. So you got to expect that you're going to get the absolute best, especially with them coming after a bye. You're going to get the absolute best from that team. Now, could that still equate to a blowout? It's possible, but I would not be surprised to see this game be closer than what a lot of people think, and then hopefully we can pull away and it'd be a two-score game at the end.
We're talking to Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He, of course, is part of the Chiefs radio network. You'll hear him on the call along with Mitch Holtis, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler on 96.5 The Fan. Noon kickoff pregame begins at 9 against Carolina. I feel like every week we ask you about Xavier Worthy and like how close are they? Last week was another example where they were able to get him open down the field. That has not been a problem, Dana. He's gotten open, but it's always, you know, maybe not knowing the field awareness. Maybe Mahomes is also a little off. What are you seeing, and do you agree that it seems like it's closer than ever for them to connect on one of these?
Oh, absolutely. I think the biggest thing, if you ask any NFL player, specifically a wide receiver that's ever played, that is currently playing, they will tell you the toughest thing to do in the NFL is get open. That's the toughest thing to do is get open.
He didn't have that problem.
Whether the quarterback finds you on those times you get open or is designed to go somewhere else and you got open anyway, the toughest thing to get open. So if you're talking about the hurdles of a rookie campaign for Xavier Worthy in this offense, he's already knocked down one of the first ones. I would say in this offense, it's absorbing the offense. It's getting the trust of Patrick Mahomes, and then it's getting open. He's already got all three of those covered. Now it's just got to be fine-tuning the wide receiver skills. And some of those is strength. It's field awareness. It is understanding the schemes, not necessarily just the plays. And that's different. And, I mean, we could have a whole one-week show on schemes versus plays. Why are you running a route this way? Why do we expect you to be in this place? What does your depth at 14 yards mean for Travis Kelce, who's running a route at 8 yards? If you ran it at 10 yards, you might be too close to him. If you run it at 16, you might be too far away. You run it at 14, that's the perfect mesh so that Travis is open or you're open and Patrick has options. So the scheme is different than just running routes. Having said that, like, I love Patrick, and I love his leadership, and I love his willingness to take the blame in part for some of this stuff. But as a former wide receiver, and this is not a knock to Xavier Worthy at all, like, he's got to know where he's got to be on the field. Like, he has to know his presence on the field, especially as you get closer to the sideline. And that's something that's fixable. I know we've seen it on a couple of occasions this season so far, but it's his rookie campaign. That is absolutely something that is fixable, and I believe Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Connor Embry, they're going to address it, and hopefully it doesn't show itself the rest of this season, but it's absolutely something that will be worked on during the offseason where we won't see this again.
Dana, they were limited participants yesterday, so we don't know whether or not they're going to be available, but who do you expect to have a bigger impact the rest of the season, Isaiah Pacheco or Charles Omenihu?
Charles Omenihu. I feel like we are, as well as George Karloftis is playing, and obviously Chris Jones is a beast, our sack numbers are down, and we got to be better in that position. We're 27th in the NFL right now, which is 19 sacks. I feel like if for no other reason than that, Charles Omenihu's presence, and he showed this last year when he came back from his suspension, especially in the playoffs, one of the bigger defensive plays against the Ravens was by his arm, literally. So I feel like with his presence and his ability to play inside and outside, and conversely how we're running the ball with Kareem Hunt, not saying that we're not missing Isaiah Pacheco, but if you're talking about impact, I would say Charles Omenihu could make a major impact. A guy that's hungry, coming off an injury, wants to prove his worth, wants to prove that he's a playmaker. I think opposing offenses, specifically the tackles, better watch out.
Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. You got players only tonight, right? 6 o'clock?
Yes, sir. Players only tonight. I will be in the building and we'll have some fun. We got some hot fire takes. We'll have the text lines and the phone lines open as well. And then I'll be with Barbershop and JC Pearson tomorrow night at Buffalo Wild Wings in Belton as we take on the Fan Football Show there. So, two nights in a row, you're going to hear me on the airwaves. It's going to be fun.
There we go. Safe travels out to Charlotte as well. We'll be listening on Sunday. Appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
So that was Danan Hughes a little bit earlier today, and our conversations with Danan are brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. That's why I wanted to ask about Worthy, because, and we all acknowledge it, he's getting open.
He's throwing the ball, he stayed by himself with no one near him. Yeah. 15 yards.
He's getting open. We all know he's struggled with some of the field awareness, spatial awareness with that. I still think last week, that one drive to start, that was still a very good sign of where he's trending, the contested catch that he made. Now got to make the one that we all think is easy, even though it's way more difficult than it looks. It's supposed to be easy for them. Correct.
I mean, you and I can't do it, but
right.
That's the point.
That's right.
That's what a professional athlete. Sean Barber disagrees with you.
Sean Barber was texting. Well, he disagrees with Danon. He was texting me. He says that he doesn't think the toughest thing for an NFL wide receiver is getting open.
What do you think the toughest part is? Catching?
I don't know. Barber's listening. You can
route
text me.
Route running?
What do you think the toughest thing is for a receiver then?
Yeah. Route running? Catching?
Sean Barber says, I can say this because him and Danon are good friends and they give each other a hard time. He says, I need to take an Advil after hearing Danon talk.
They've got a clear rivalry between offensive players and defensive players. And whose job is
I'm going to have to tell him that Barber said that tonight when we went back in for after hours.
I'm going to tell Danon.
Look,
they'll be able to address it tomorrow night when as he said, they're going to be out at the fan football show, Buffalo Wild Wings in Belton tomorrow night. So, and they're hosting together. So that'll more reason to listen tomorrow night for that.
I think route running might be one for me, but Danon's a former NFL wide receiver, so I could be wrong, you know. Route running would be the one for me because that's the one that seemingly holds back, especially guys. How about this? For Andy Reid-led wide receivers, I think that's number one. Because if they don't trust you to stand in the spot that you're supposed to stand in, then Andy doesn't do that. And what we're talking about is on that one Xavier Worthy route, there are people who are NFL experts who actually follow the league, who talk about receiver routes, who talk about what he did there was actually wrong. He shouldn't have gone to the sideline because the guy blew the coverage. He should have gone deep. Nate Taylor said the same thing. He should have kept stretching the field rather than holding himself against the sideline.
We had the snitch line earlier in the hour, right, at 1:15.
Yeah, we did.
Barber says Drew's out here being a snitch, saying he's going to go talk to
you. As soon as I said that, I thought the exact same thing, Barber. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So should I or not, guys? I'm going to let you
decide. At this point, I think you should say something.
That's
because it'll set up Friday night very nicely when they're hosting together. Real quick, Thursday Night Football tonight. You guys interested in this one? It might be
second half, if it's close.
Classic football weather, good on TV game where it just looks like football weather for the first time all year. Wintery mix in Cleveland, high 30s, maybe a little windy. Steelers, Browns, like it does have strong football vibes this evening.
This game needs to be December 20th to feel perfect.
It's gonna look like that. I like Pittsburgh tonight. I think they get to 9-2. Some people are a little nervous because Mike Tomlin under him have not won a road divisional Thursday night game. Bizarre, right? 0-5.
Okay, small sample.
0-7 as an organization.
Weird.
They're 8-2 against the spread this year. Cleveland's lost by 17 and 21 the last two times out. I think it'll be an ugly game. I don't know how Cleveland scores on this defense consistently enough. So I like Pittsburgh -3.5. It's one our in-house contest that we do with other people from the station. You and I actually both, which that's what makes me nervous. You and I both put on the board Pittsburgh
-3.5. You do not want to be on the same side as me, but the way I view this game is how I view a lot of Thursday night games. I am interested a little bit because it has a direct impact on the Chiefs. If the Steelers keep winning, at some point they are a threat to the number one seed, especially because these two teams play each other in less than a month, or actually a little bit more than a month. But so that part interests me, but it's one of those, like, I'm ignoring the first half of that game. If you tell me it's 13-13 in the second half, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in then. I don't want to watch a whole...
It's like watching
a Big Ten basketball game.
Yeah.
Cleveland and, I mean...
There's just so many...
You hate the Big Ten in basketball. It's a terrible product. It's better than you think it is.
But this is an NFL...
I've watched as many as
I promise.
This is an NFL game, rivalry. There's also other implications involved. There's fantasy football implications. There's betting implications. There are number one seed implications. There's plenty here for me tonight.
Goal is telling you to bet on the game, Cody, so you have more of an investment.
It's an 8-2 team versus a 2-8 team. If it's close at half... I'll get involved.
Okay. All righty. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. As Danon said, players only coming up tonight at 6. Up next, though, we hand things off to C-Dot and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.